What a privilege to be here anytime, but especially during this season. We are thankful that the Lord has allowed us to be a part of what you are working through as a church family, of what you're processing, of what you're seeing God do. And so thank you for the invitation to be here this morning. We do have a lot to share with you, to give you an update about what God has been doing in our lives and what he has called us to. In summary, to begin with, I want to say there have been plenty of times since we've been on this journey that we have not felt equipped to do what we think God wants us to do. In fact, 99.9% of the time we feel that way. And that actually is a good thing, because then we have to rely on the strength of the Lord to get us through, to give us wisdom, to know how to proceed. So as we start this morning, I just want to begin with that caveat, that with the refugee initiative that we are kind of focused on right now, what background did I have that would prepare me for that? If you look at it from a human perspective, nothing really. But Jesus is the one who provides everything that we need to do what he's asked us to do. Also, I want to let you know that I just came from Colorado Springs, which is where Reach Beyond's office headquarters are. This last week, I was there for crisis risk assessment, security training, all those things that sound really important and are important. Yet you realize that the best decisions we can make in assessing risk when we send people or teams to certain parts of the world, God is overarching and still in control, and we can make the best decisions, and he may have a different plan. But please pray for us, because there are certain areas of the world right now where, first of all, Christians are not safe, but secondly, where the gospel needs to be. And so there's always that tension of, okay, is it unwise for us to send people there, or is this exactly where we think that God wants us to send people? So please be in prayer with us about those decisions. In fact, we had a meeting yesterday about a team that's leaving tomorrow for Lesbos, the Greek islands. And I don't know if you've been familiar with what's taking place there right now, but there are some, actually we have a list of seven things right now, trigger points, that we say, okay, if this happens, then we're going to backup plan and either bring them back immediately or just getting them to the mainland or something else. It's a challenging time to be in ministry, as it always is. But particularly right now, we have some pretty big, important things facing us. So we're going to start off with something that's more pleasant, much more fun. We're going to talk a little bit about family, hopefully. Well, you can talk about family.
Okay. Is that working?
It's not advancing at the moment. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. Well, yes, I'm the family face, I guess. just wanted to give you a quick update on all of our girls and their families, and then my parents as well. So, as Dave Barnd alluded to, we are back in the States for a season due to my parents, who are still at home, and my dad is also quite elderly. He's 91 years old, just a few months behind Dad Jolly, and but he's not in, I don't think, it's quite as good a health as Dad Jolly's in. So he has dementia and some other, and a lot of other health issues. And so actually we've just made the decision to put him into a home, which we will be doing as soon as we get back from this trip. So you can pray for us about that. It was a hard decision for all of us, in particular my mother. So there's just going to be a lot of, you know, things going on with that. So we have that to do when we get back, and that's kind of where we are in with my parents. And there'll still be a lot to do even after he's in a home. And my mom is, she's quite a bit younger. She's only 76. Actually, she just turned 77. Yeah, she did. She just turned 77, which in today's, 77 is the, is the new 67, you know what I'm saying? It's, we seem to be getting younger and younger, but as we age, but my mom is not a high energy person, and so taking care of him has been rough. But we're really, really praying that now she can become his wife again, and rather than, you know, his caretaker, and kind of resume that role, you know, as his wife. So, and us as his children, you know, loving and caring for him. We have the privilege of doing that, and we're very, very thankful. And of course, also being closer here in the U.S. so that we're readily available to come to Mom and Dad Jolly's aid as well when it's needed. So we're thankful to be here for this time period. We don't really know how long Dad or we're going to be here, but we are here for this season. So, yeah, there's some pictures there, I guess, of everyone. So we've got the twins up there in the top left, and they're doing well. They're in there. Actually, Kristen is going to be graduating from Calvary University, which is the same college that David and I went to, where we met, and she's going to graduate with an AA in Biblical Studies in May, and then Kendra is in her junior year at John Brown in Siloam Springs, and she just actually got first place at the national singing competition this weekend, so we're real proud of her. She's doing really, really well as well. Kara, and our oldest Kara and her family is there in the middle top. Ryan, he is still in the Army, an EOD soldier in the Army. They live in Georgia. He's stationed at Fort Stewart. He's been traveling around a lot with the president and doing security work with the president. So it's a challenge for Kara. She's homeschooling and taking care of all. She's very, very busy with all of those kids and homeschooling, but we're real thankful for her. And then Kelsey, of course, and Chris are here in San Antonio. They're going to be here during the service. And our two grandchildren, Jesse and Rosie, they're here in San Antonio, so we're real thankful for their presence here as well. And then our middle daughter, Kayla, there's no picture of her up there. She and her husband, Jared, are up in Kansas City, and no children yet, but they just moved into their first home. So I'm kind of thinking that maybe some grandkids will be coming along here shortly. But anyway, we're real thankful for all of our girls. We are so blessed. Obviously, all the glory belongs to the Lord. You know that all five of our girls and their spouses, those that have spouses, are all following the Lord, love the Lord. And we know that in today's day and age when Satan loves to get in and ruin families and ruin marriages, but we are so blessed that all of our girls have chosen and continue to choose to follow the Lord. Nothing that David and I have done, but all glory for that belongs to the Lord. So we're just so, so thankful for that. We know how blessed we are. It brings tears to my eyes because of that. But we're just very thankful. And that's an update on our family. If you'd like to know anything else, you're welcome to ask me during the middle time. I wanted to also mention really quickly that we have new prayer cards. Reach Beyond, of course, change the logo and the colors and all. So whenever they do that, we have to get new materials and make sure that everything is, the brand is, you know, is all different. So please pick up a new prayer card if you'd like to with an updated picture. Actually, that will tell you this, but the picture that's there on the front is was taken in the mountains of. Oh, it was Switzerland? I was thinking it was Kyrgyzstan. No, but it's not. It was Switzerland, yeah, when we were driving through to somewhere. But anyway, so those are some pictures of the Alps where David and I are standing.
Okay, so primarily our role for the last 30-plus years has been radio. That's what we've been doing. And we started the ministry in Romania, Joy FM, which was talked about earlier, the station is continuing on. When we came back to the States last fall to start caring for Best Parents, the radio station was at a point where we felt comfortable in handing it off to the nationals who were there. And as Dave Barn mentioned, I'm not quite at 10,000 feet overlooking it, but close to it, you know. We still have really very close friends and station workers that we keep in contact with who are there. Just continue, please, to pray for Joy FM and the ministry that God has begun there, and pray for the staff as they continue to operate the radio ministry. And we're excited to see how God continues to use this for his glory in the days ahead. I think I shared with you when we were here last time about how we got into the idea of refugee ministry. And it's not simply humanitarian purposes. There are other organizations that do that. Reach Beyond is focused on the 1,900 people groups that are still considered as unreached. Many of those people groups are in Asia and the Middle East. So for decades, ever since I was a little towhead, like I had a picture yesterday at the San Antonio Christian School Grace reunion of me in third grade, and I'm like, yeah, that was a long, long time ago. But ever since then, growing up in the church, I remember people praying about the 10-40 window, praying that we would be able to send M workers or missionaries into that 10-40 window because it was so difficult to get people in there. In response, God in his sovereignty has shaken up the people groups of the world, and he's moved people groups. So his response to our prayers was to actually move people groups to us. Not that we can go into them, but to move people groups to us. The problem is that we were like, wait a minute, that wasn't what we had in mind. We're not really comfortable with that. But that's what God did. So in 2014-15, our church in Romania heard of, and this was during the influx when everything started breaking loose and refugees started moving and migrating from Syria because of the war in Aleppo into Europe through the corridor that is Turkey and then across into Greece and then what's now North Macedonia, Serbia, and then off into Europe. There was an organization there that contacted our church in Romania and said, can you send some people to come help us? We have this responsibility in the tent that we, as an NGO, we are in charge of, and we need more workers. I actually was here in the States when that took place. I was at a broadcasting conference, and Beth was in Romania, and she decided, I think I'll just go with the church. So she went with the church to serve on the North Macedonian-Serbian border in a tent, and as she says, it was the hardest week of her life. It was very, very difficult being there. Not because of the people, but because of the numbers of people everywhere. Everyone had a need. Everyone had something that they had to have taken care of. And as you can imagine, it was in the middle of winter in Serbia. The conditions are not the greatest. And so she got sick, and other people got sick, and it was a very difficult week for her. So fast forward then to 2019, February. Europe by now has said, most European countries have said, okay, we don't need any more refugees. As you may recall, Germany said, yeah, come, everybody come, you know. Of course, they were doing it for economic purposes, not out of the kindness of their heart. They were needing more workers to work in their factories to pay off all the retirement of the people who will be retiring in the next 10 to 15 years. But even Germany said, okay, that's enough. Don't need any more. So then you have a bottleneck at Greece because they're still coming, but they can't escape out the other side. So on the island of Lesbos, which I will get to here in a moment, and the Moria refugee camp is located on the island of Lesbos. Originally it was built for 2,500. There's now 21,000 people in this camp. So the bottleneck occurs. And in the Moria refugee camp, the same partner that Beth went to work with is there, and they do a program for feeding the women in the camp. And they contacted our church again and said, we're desperate. We have to have people come help us. We cannot keep doing this by ourselves. So in February of 2019, our church said, okay, we will send another group down to help you. And since Beth had been before, and I was in Romania, and they invited me to go along with them, and so I went. And again, just as God had done in my first trip to Romania back in 2003, he showed me some things about his heart for people and about how he can bring glory to himself through the work that we can do with our hands and by sharing the love of Jesus with those people. So here is a short little look at where Lesvos is on the map. You can see it's tucked underneath that little overhang of Turkey. By the way, the Apostle Paul was stopped there in Mytilene on, I think, his last journey. But it's in Acts 21. So the Apostle Paul actually was in on Lesvos. But what happens is you can see it's very close. In fact, it's 10 kilometers or approximately 6 miles from Greece, Lesvos, to Turkey, which is where it's one of the closest points for the refugees to come across. Now, you may have noticed in the last several days that because of what's taking place in Idlib, in Syria, with the Syrian forces and the Russian forces and the Turkish forces, 34 Turkish soldiers were killed. And Turkey said, okay, because the EU has not been helping us as we requested, we are going to open our borders completely and let all the refugees just go. Because up to this point, a deal was made in 2015 where the EU has been paying Turkey to try and hold them back to a certain degree. Now, officially, there are like 2.7 million refugees in Turkey. Unofficially, there's probably closer to 6 million. But he decided, because the EU has not helped me, I'm just going to open my gates and let everybody out. Open them more, right? Now, there's still human traffickers that get people across. So you can only imagine what the chaos that is ensuing right now is because of that. Greece has since decided, okay, well, we're going to close our border with Turkey, and we are sending troops and the army and police there to try and protect the land border with Turkey. They've also put out more patrols in the water to try and stop the boats coming across. But can you really stop 2 million people that want to try and get across? It's going to be very challenging and very difficult. Well, it's, see where the arrow, does this have a pointer on it? I don't think it does. Yeah. Right there, through that whole region. Right through there. That's where they come across. So it's not very far at all for the refugees to get across. Now, one of the reasons that Reach Beyond got involved in this was because we are looking at this as an opportunity to reach those unreached people groups that we were talking about. They are coming to Europe. It's not just a nice humanitarian cause that we're doing. It is actually to impact them with the cause of the gospel. And we can do that in a variety of ways, which I'll get into as we continue. But that is the main goal of what Reach Beyond is involved in this ministry for, is to continue to reach out and impact the unreached people groups of the world. So here are some things that you don't necessarily hear in the media here in the United States which are taking place. Greece under siege, deploys army, helicopters, naval warships to defend Europe from immigrants sent by the Turkish regime. It's one thing you don't hear about much in our media. Another thing you may not hear is the fact that there have been protests on the islands recently by the Greeks themselves because they're fed up with the situation. They're looking at it as, on a couple of the islands, there are more refugees on the islands than Greek citizens now. On the island of Lesvos, as I mentioned, overall there's 21,000 in the camp. There's 23,000 refugees on the island. And the island population itself is only about 80,000. And at this point, the refugees pretty much, because the camp was built for 2,500, they have access to leave the camp and go out into the town, into Mytilene. So the Greeks are saying, no more, we can't continue to do this. Plus, then you have the refugees themselves are protesting because of the conditions in the camp. So it's just not a good situation. There is not a good solution to the problem. And no one can come up with it. Now, I'm not saying we're in the end times, but I'm saying if someone were to come along and say, you know, I can solve the Middle East conflict, I can solve the refugee problem, people would be like, he's a good guy. We should probably support him. Certainly, you can see how someone that can say that could certainly get us to where an antichrist might be someone that the world would worship and look to. But those are some of the things that you don't hear about that are taking place on the islands right now. As I mentioned, we sent a team. Actually, they're leaving tomorrow morning here from the United States. And we have to take all these things into consideration. The protests with the refugees in the camp and outside the camp. The protests with the islanders. The situation between Turkey and Greece. Is it still safe to travel? Coronavirus. What is that doing to international travel? All those factors play into, do we send a team? Do we not send a team? What is a backup plan for the team? My next trip is scheduled for March 16th, and by then, who knows what will be taking place. And things change by the day, if not the hour. So we have to try and keep track of what God is doing through this entire scenario. So since we've come back to the United States and I'm not in Romania, not doing the media project there, I have some new responsibilities. My new title, officially, is the Greece Refugee Initiative Director. What does that mean? It means I am working with a team of people who are now overseeing the ministry. When we send teams there, how do we establish our own ministry and identity there? Do we want to do something like English language learning for the refugees that come through? How can we be more involved in community development? Because one of the basic outreaches of Reach Beyond through its history has been community development. Community development can mean everything from healthcare to providing clean water, those kinds of things. So that's another area, avenue, of getting the gospel into areas by helping people and developing their community. That's my main title. So as you can see there, I oversee relationships, coordinate with partners on the ground. I also have the opportunity to lead teams to serve refugees in Greece. One of the main fascinating things that happens when we go to Greece, and Beth can attest to this since she's been there, the refugees know who we are. It's not a shock to them. You know, they come up to us, and I remember the very first time this happened a year ago, February of 2019, my first trip. I came up, I was talking to someone, hearing their story, and that's a whole lot of the time that we're just standing around between meals. We talk to the refugees. We have an opportunity just to sit down and talk with them. And one guy was talking to me, telling me his story about how he had been in Afghanistan in Kabul. He and his brother had owned this steelworks factory. They were doing really well. Taliban came in and killed everyone in his factory, killed his entire family except his brother and he and his family, his immediate family. I think he had a wife and two daughters. And he began to realize, why am I still here after a day or two? What is the purpose? The business is gone. We have no workers. They're going to come back and probably look for me and kill me. Why should I stay? It's not that he wanted to leave Afghanistan. It's his home. But he left Afghanistan, fled to Europe, and now he's in the refugee camp in Moria. And after we've talked for about 10, 15 minutes, he looks at me and he says, "You're a Christian, aren't you?" And I said, "Yes." Looking to see if anyone around me had a machete or something, you know. He said, "Yeah, I can tell." He said, "Who else would be here? No one else would volunteer their time to come to serve in this place. Why would someone pay to come across the ocean to come be here? We're only here because we have to be here. No one else would come." So it's not a shock to them that Christians are there. They know that. And it's having an impact on them because things that they've been taught, and really probably 90% of the Muslims who are there are nominal Muslims. They're Muslims because they were born into a Muslim family. They're not jihadis. They're not, you know, the people who want to kill you. And so of all the events that they've been through, all the struggles that they've been through, if they were ever open to hearing about the gospel of Jesus Christ, this is the place they're going to be open to it. That's the reason we're there. Also, I assess risk and plan strategies for teams for Reach Beyond and our partners. That's a new part of the responsibility, and one which I obviously don't feel qualified for, but it's part of the job. And we did a simulation on Thursday of a real-life scenario that had taken place that the team that was leading this seminar had actually worked through about 5 years ago. And when you realize, you know, we're making decisions that could mean life or death for people on the ground, it gets really serious. Even in a simulation, it gets really serious in a really quick time period. So as we continue to do this process with everything that's exploding around the Greece Refugee Initiative right now, please keep us in your prayers. We need God's wisdom to know how to proceed in these instances. I still am involved in media as a media trainer. So when partners from around the world may call and say, hey, we need someone to come train us in this, Reach Beyond will probably, I'll be one of the people they tap on the shoulder and said, hey, can you go to X country and do some media training? We are working right now to establish a summer program for 2021. We wanted to get it done for this year, but because of everything else, it wasn't possible. But we're doing a summer internship for some college students next year in 2021 that we're planning right now. Looking forward to that. Also, teaching is needed for various partners, like online radio or something else. We can do video conferencing with them. And the third part of my new role is mobilization coordinator. So as Reach Beyond looks to recruit new people to go to various people groups, various countries, I'm one of the people they will call on to help get the people from when they've actually been accepted as a Reach Beyond missionary to the field. So I will walk with them through that process. How do you get a visa? What are the regulations and requirements for the country you want to go to for a visa? Where actually will you be working in country? Let's look at housing options. Let's find out who the partner is that you'll be working with, what are their needs and necessities. So all those things. I'll be working as mobilization coordinator, coaching apprentices as they walk through the process ahead, and building relationships with on-field staff, continuing to hopefully be the interface for that in the days ahead. So as I wrap up before I get to questions, I want to show you a little video from our time in Greece just recently when we were there in January. Yes, January. I took a team from Oklahoma Baptist University to work in the camp. And this video just shows some of the pictures from inside the camp, outside the camp, and some of the team camp members that I would hopefully give you a brief description of what things are like inside the camp.
Why you ever chose me has always been a mystery. All my life I've been told I belong at the end of the line. Well, all the other not quite, well, all the never get it right. But it turns out they're the ones you were looking for all this time. 'Cause I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. Well, Moses had stage fright, and David brought a rock to a sword fight. You picked 12 outsiders nobody would have chosen, and you changed the world. Well, the moral of the story is everybody's got a purpose. So when I hear that devil start talking to me, saying, who do you think you are? I say, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
So let me go down, down, down in
I like that last quote, because that kind of is where missionaries are, at the convergence of what God is doing around the world. And we get the privilege of seeing that. We're blessed people. We really are. Okay, any questions that I can help? Well, Dave Barn first.
It is a city of ruins. Now, I'm going to read a passage of scripture, Isaiah 17:1. A message about Damascus. Look, Damascus will cease to be a city. Instead, it will become a pile of ruins.
Mm-hmm.
Almost most of Damascus is now looking a lot like that.
Yep. Yep.
These are huge cities of hundreds of thousands of population.
Yep.
And
Idlib right now is going through the same thing, another Syrian city, going through the exact same thing at this moment. If you ever want, and it's not a Christian that does this, but if you want to learn more about what it would have been like to live through that in Aleppo, there's a new documentary that Frontline did, actually. It's called For Sama, S-A-M-A. And if you are interested in learning more about that, she started recording before her daughter was born, but she did it knowing that she was going to have a daughter. And she wanted to give her daughter an insight into her life ahead of the time she was born and during the time she was born. And she has videos of seeing the Russian warplanes going overhead. And then they're just the videos recording in their bedroom, and they're just talking. All of a sudden, the whole building shakes because of bombs being dropped on it. So if you're interested in learning more about that, For Sama is an extremely powerful documentary, not from a Christian perspective, however. Just want you to be aware of that.
It's interesting about that quote from that passage from Isaiah, but I responded to it was an editorial, and someone responded to me saying, well, you know, you think that the Bible is true and the prophecies are true, and he's quoted this one, it was 10 years ago, and here we are 10 years later, and it's pretty much happened.
Yes. Yes, it is. I know. It is. Very remarkable. Yes?
Two-part question. Mm-hmm. I assume from your last point of your presentation that there is some kind of an avenue for a pathway out of the refugee camp into Europe. And second, do you coordinate with other Christian groups that are there, or are there any other Christian groups?
Yes. First part of the question, right now, unless the refugee has other members of their family that have already made it into Europe, Germany, Austria, France, wherever, no, they cannot leave Greece. They're stuck in Greece, which creates a whole other set of problems. Greece, as you remember just a few years ago, they were in such dire financial straits that they basically declared bankruptcy, had to have bailout from the EU. unemployment in Greece is still at 20%. So now you're adding this influx of refugees into the situation, which also need jobs. If they're going to live there, how are they going to survive? So it's a whole huge set of problems. But again, they're pretty much stuck in Greece. That's as far as they can go, unless they have family that's already gotten out. Second question, as it relates to other ministries that we work with in Greece, yes. In the camp itself, because it's run by the Greek government and the UN is involved, we cannot officially proselytize in the camp. We cannot openly share and try and convert someone to Christianity. Outside the camp, though, we're free to do that.
We can answer questions, though.
And if they ask questions, we can answer questions, yes.
Inside the camp. We're talking with them, et cetera. They're telling us their story. They're asking us questions, just like Dave did when he said he's a Christian. Because all they've ever heard all their lives is that Christians want to kill them, harm them, you know, they hate us, and yet the Christians are the ones who are there serving and meeting the needs. So, you know, it's really open. I mean, the door is just been flung wide open.
On the island of Lesbos itself, right now we're working with a group called All for Aid. It's a women's ministry that has been set up outside the camp. Inside the camp, women are treated horrifically, raped constantly at night, especially if they have to get up and go to the bathroom. It's not safe, you know. So there's a women's ministry that's been set up there, and they provide showers. Women can come do their laundry, and they've started two classes of school for the kids. There's also another organization, GEM, Greater Europe Mission, has established a house, basically. It's called Ephraim House, where people from the camp can come get some tea and sit down and just talk. And they have biblical literature there. They show videos and movies and those kinds of things. So there are definitely opportunities outside the camp to be more involved in actual sharing of Christ directly. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Do you have a problem over there with different languages?
We do. As you can imagine, if you're talking right now in the camp of Moria, there are approximately 40 different people groups represented there, most of them with their own language. So yes, communication can be a huge issue. What do you think the one language that most people either know or want to know is? English, which is very convenient for us, you know? So, yes, they may not know a whole lot of English, but they know some English. Most know a few words of English. Beth, in fact, in October when she was there, she would go into the tent where the women stayed, preparing for lunch, and it would basically be an hour, and she would teach English. That's what she did. She had English classes for the refugee women in the camp. And what did they call you? Teacher, when you come, you know, and they were very excited. They hated when she left, and they want us to come back. So when are you coming back? Any other questions?
So the majority of those that you get the opportunity to witness to are Muslims.
Yes, that is correct.
We learn in the New Testament how the apostles, especially Paul, would share the gospel with Jews.
One of the things that you learn is that they have great respect for Jesus. You start there. That's the best place to start. You start with Jesus. You ask them, so what is your understanding of Jesus? You know, who do you think Jesus is? And they'll tell you. And then we go, well, this is what I believe about Jesus. And this is why I believe this about Jesus. So yeah, start with Jesus.
Mm-hmm. And it's a holy book, so anything to them in the NGL, you can even ask them, have you read it?
Right.
You know, challenge them to begin reading the New Testament. I mean, God's word will not, you know, come back void. So challenge them to read the New Testament.
You know, that was something that I was afraid of, too. I'm like, how am I going to talk to a Muslim about Christ? But you just start with Jesus. Yeah.
Hmm.
If you can, play games with them. I mean, they love. You have to remember, and this is where it gets kind of tricky, just like the parents have PTSD, many of them because of what they've experienced, so do the kids. And so they act out. Oh, yeah. In the video, did you happen to see some, like, drawings? Those are drawings that the kids made at the All for Aid classroom, and many of them had tears running down. I don't know if you saw the one, it shows an actual boat on the water and people in the water, you know, because they'd been coming, when they came across, people drowned in the water. They had bodies in the water. So you have to realize that they're going to act out in ways that we can't fathom because of what they've experienced. So just being there with them, you know, giving them hugs if they want it, just talking to them, playing games. Yeah. And actually, right now what we started, I know I need to wrap up here, but we've started a secondary food line now. We do a breakfast line for the women. Then after that, we try and clear things out. And then the kids come, thousands of kids come into the line, and they get a juice box and an apple or a banana and like a biscuit or something, so that they get something during the day as well. So, yeah. Yes, sir. There is a group of them, yeah. They actually have a separate living area in the camp than the rest of the camp residents. But probably, I would say, what do you think, 10% maybe? Higher than that? You think 20? My main purpose, I'm not taking a team this time. My main purpose for going on the 16th is to work with the partners and see more of what they need that we can help provide them with. Like All for Aid, I'm going to go visit with them. They have already told us we need more teachers. Here's the challenging thing. They need longer-term people to go and work there. Americans getting visas to do religious work in Greece, you can't get it. So we have to figure out other ways of getting people there. And so that's one of my main purposes, going to visit those partners and saying, okay, if they need an independent visa, independent financial visa, we'll go that route. So you have to have $40,000 in the bank. The Greek government sees, okay, you have $40,000 in the bank. And then they'll give you a visa because you don't need money coming in. Or if you buy property in Greece, you can get a visa. But if you're coming to do religious work, no visa. So we have to start investigating, okay, creative ways of getting people there. So that's one of the main reasons I'm going then, is to visit with the partners and see, okay, how can we continue bringing more people in longer term? Short term is great, but they request longer term people. People that, now you can go there for 90 days, you know, 3 months is not a problem. But you start building relationships after 90 days. Then you're gone again. So how can we do this longer term? And that's kind of what my main purpose is going in March 16th. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for allowing us to share this morning. We appreciate it. Thank you for your prayers, for your support. It does mean the world to us because we couldn't be doing what we feel God has called us to do without that. All right, let me close. Father, thank you for just the privilege you've given us of being involved in what you are doing. We pray, Father, that we would continue to be instruments of your grace to the people we come in contact with here in the United States or wherever we go. And we ask, Lord, that you would continue to give us your wisdom and make us effective for the cause of Christ and bringing you glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.